You already know, should already know this. And for you that I've asked to stay, if you don't mind, stay just a minute tonight. And we're going to have, let the young people help me do something. And then there's some other special folks that I've asked to stay also. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Actually, I'm only going to read chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes. And the first part of that verse where it said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The first part of that verse said, "Remember now thy Creator." I want to preach just for a minute or two here tonight on young people. Don't forget. Don't forget. Y'all are always thinking how smart you are, so we'll find out here tonight. Don't forget some things here this evening. If you're a teenager here tonight, and or a young person, young adult, maybe middle age, I don't know, then you don't forget. Young youth, while you're young, is one of the most exciting times of your life. You're growing up, finally getting out of school, getting licensed, thinking about college, buying a home, marriage, career, all that stuff. All in just a few short years. Yep, just down. And tonight, I'd like to encourage you as a young person to not forget some things. While you're doing all this stuff, don't forget some things. While you're going and getting your driver's license, don't forget. There's something more important. While you're have your social life, don't forget. There's something more important. While you're in sports, playing basketball, baseball, football, whatever, don't forget, there's something more important. Everywhere I go, there's young men in the church where I've been preaching this week. Only, good night, I don't guess he's maybe 18 or 19, found out he had cancer in his body. Still a teenager. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I mean, that's awful just to think about somebody's life. We heard about the young man who was killed just here in Marion, there in Marion a couple of weeks ago, how that young life can be cut that short. And it happens all the time. We don't like to think about it, but it happens. It does happen. Young people leave this world and meet God. Young people leave this world and go to heaven or hell, depending upon what they've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard me preach this morning. I mean, God got real in here this morning. I preached on hell, and we had all them people saved, and God blessed. And you know what? It's a reality. It's a reality. You say, "Well, I'm young, Brother Danny. I want to have fun." Great. That's wonderful. You ought to. But you better not forget some of these certain things. I want to say tonight, you better not forget. You better not forget that life is very short. You better not forget that life is very short. I've told you before, over and over and over. Don't ever forget me doing this. Young people, listen to me. I didn't believe this when I was your age. And most of y'all don't believe it. But take it from me, I'm not lying. Here's the way your life goes. You get over here like this, and let's say you're 13, and this is your life, going over to that door over yonder somewhere, and you're going to die. When you're 13, and you think, all right, Mom won't let me do nothing. I can't wait till I'm 16 and get my license. Man, I can't wait. I remember thinking, if I could ever get 16 and get my license, I could go out and do stuff. Well, you're finally 14. And you take a step, you're 14. Man, I'm 14. I ain't just a teenager, barely. I'm really one. I'm 14. I ain't just 13. And you think, I'm 14. I feel good now. And you drag around there and drag. Really, 14 ain't no different than 13. You can't do no more at 14. You can 13. Then you're 15. It ain't really much either. You're 15. You feel like, well, I've at least reached the halfway point between 10 and 20. And you drag and drag and drag. And finally, I mean, it seems like forever. You're like, 16. And you go get your driver's license. I got my driver's license the day that I turned 16. the day. I'm telling you, I couldn't wait. I stayed out of school, got out early, made Mom take me to them to the DMV there in Blow Marion, and I come driving back. Well, I'm 16. That's the way it goes. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Out of school now. I got to get a job. 20, going to college, whatever you're going to do. 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Some of y'all don't even remember your 30s, do you? You was 20-something, and then you was 40. Am I 40? Lord have mercy. That's right. Isn't that the way it goes? Now, come on, old people. Shake your little heads out of there. That's the way life goes. Now, I mean, it's 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, blah, 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 blah. And right now, we can't even count fast enough to keep up with Brother Ray. He quit going 61, 60, it's 60, 70, 80, 90, just going by tens. Amen. I mean, listen, we don't realize. Y'all, you know what y'all's problem is? I'll tell you why you don't do more for the Lord. You don't realize how short your life is. I'm telling you, you know what middle-age crisis is? Middle-age crisis is when you wake up and you're about 38 or 40 one day and you realize you ain't done nothing with your life. And you're a big flop. And you really thought you was really going to do great and mighty things. And you think, Lord, I'm 40 and I ain't done nothing my whole life. And you think you get depressed. I'm thinking, I'm on the way down. I'm about to die. I'm an old person now. And it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And I'm telling you, them years, I remember asking them, I said, Mom, how old are you? She'd say, now, how old am I? 71, 70. I thought, how could you forget how old? I'm starting to realize how you could forget. I mean, one year goes by, Lord, has it done been another year? Is it already my birthday again? I tell you how you know you're getting old. When you're young, you can't wait. You want to tell everybody. The older you get, say, Lord, it ain't my old. Just don't say nothing. I don't want nothing. Don't even mention it. I mean, you're just getting older and older and older. I know some of you, you're saying, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to work out and I'm going to take vitamins and I'm going to do it. You know, one of the dumbest things I ever heard anybody say in my life was, you're only as old as you think you are. That's about the most retarded thing I ever heard. You're just as old as you think. That's crazy. You know how old you are? Ever how old you are? That's how old you are. I don't care how you feel. I don't care if you took a gallon of vitamins before you got here tonight. If you're 30, you're 30. I mean, if you're 40, you're 40. You might be a good 40, but you're still 40. Amen. You might be a good 50, but you're still 50. You might be a good 60, but you're still 60. And you say, well, you hide it. Well, you hide it, but it's still there. And I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, God's got this thing fixed so that we're marching through life. And we're going, and don't forget, young people, life is short. Get on the ball. Listen, I remember... do we have anybody in here who is 19 years old? Anybody in here who is 19? Melanie, you're celebrating your 30th birthday at 19. 19, both y'all, raise your hand over there. Courtney, her and that guy right there. Old Blondie. They are both 19 years old, right? 19. I started preaching when I was his age, right there. And I was preaching revival services and everything. Now, a lot of y'all think, well, I'm going to wait till I'm about 30 and decide what I want to do. Well, that's too late. You've done let life pass you by. You better be getting on the ball. You better be getting on the ball. I'm telling you, young people, grab you some tracks and get out of here and be a witness for God, because life is very, 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 very short. That's why, listen, y'all, everybody listen to me. That's why I preach to you every year. Don't go out and get you a job that's going to keep you out of youth camp and keep you out of church on Sunday and all that. Nothing wrong with you working and getting a job. But life is too short to miss camp and to miss all the good things and to miss youth trips and getting involved. Listen, one of the most important things you've ever done in your life is go to camp. Some of you sitting right here tonight would not be here tonight if it wasn't for youth camp and things like that. Life's too short. You say, well, I just want to hurry and get that car and get that money and get that car and get that money. You better remember God. You better remember the Lord. You better remember time's passing by. Make time something for Him. Make time to do something for the Lord. Make time to go on bus route. Make time to go witness. Make time, because it's very, very, very short. God created you and gave you a life to live, and it's His desire that you live for Him. You like that girl who went to her Sunday school class, and this teenage girl, every Sunday, her teacher would say, "Honey, I want to see you saved. I want you to live right." And she'd say, "Look, I'm young right now. I'm going to do that one of these days. Just leave me alone. When I get a little bit older, then I'll get saved. I'm going to live my life right now." So it come find out it's her birthday. And her Sunday school teacher went to buy her a present. And she got a present in the mail from her Sunday school teacher. And boy, she looked all the way up to the house. She said, "Oh boy, I can't wait." And she tore into that present and opened it up and pulled it out. And there were some old dead, dried up, wilted roses in there. And she got mad as fire. She said, "That's not funny." She called up her Sunday school teacher. She said, "I don't know if you thought this was funny or a joke, but I didn't take it that way at all." She said, "I just want you to know I thought that was very rude and very a smart aleck thing for you to do, sending me the old dried willow roses, some kind of trying to be funny or something." And her Sunday school teacher said, "Honey, all I'm trying to do is get you to see this." She said, I waited till them roses was wilted and dead, then I sent them to you. That's what you're doing to God. You're living your life for yourself right now, and you want to give it to Him when you're old and about ready to die. And boy, that got a hold of that girl's heart. And she said, "That's right." And she got saved. She got saved. She said, "I don't want to wait till I'm old and then give God the leftovers. I want to give Him my life while you're young." Mamas and daddies, help me here. Don't you agree with me? The best thing y'all could do tonight would be to surrender everything you've got to God. Surrender your whole life. Listen to me. Surrender your music. Surrender your friends. Surrender your pastime. Surrender. That music will be your downfall if you don't learn how to get you some good clean. I'm telling you, you cannot stay right with God and listen to dirty music. It cannot be done. Nobody can do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. You can't help it. It's everywhere you go. But you don't have to plug that trash in your ears and go around feeding your stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, young people tonight, let's get right with God. Youth rally's coming. Let's clean up our life. Sold out to God, totally dedicated to Him. You parents might have to encourage them a little bit with them headphones. Like cut them with scissors or something. I can't stand trying to talk to a kid and they got something plugged in both ears. And then, "What you doing today?" And they're just, "What are you doing today?" I want to smack them and jerk them things out of there. Did you know, I don't believe God designed us to have something going in both sides of your brain. They probably got two different songs going in there and don't even know it. I heard about it at a rock concert. Everybody was so drunk and everything. The band was playing two different songs. Nobody ever knew the difference. They probably thought, "Cool, man, that's a new one. I like it." You better remember who God is. You better remember who God is. Y'all, I don't know if y'all remember Travis's church. He's got some Spanish girl. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. They don't look like us. And they're tall and dark skinned. And they all come to camp a few years ago. And I mean, they got a dose. God got a hold of them. And there's that revival this week. And I said, "Girls, y'all come to youth rally or anything?" They said, "Oh yes, we're excited." They have some kind of accent. They said, "We're excited." I said, "Praise God. Hallelujah." I said, "Y'all bring all your friends, get it?" And they're so excited. You know what? I think young people like that are smart. I think young people like that are smart. Say, "Oh well, I got this that night, and I got that night, and I may go here that night." Oh no, listen, life is too short. You better remember something. You better not forget God, because He's your creator. Listen, kids. I heard about a man who was sick on his deathbed. And he was laying there, and he'd ask his boy, teenage boy, to go to the drugstore and get his medicine. He said, "Son, I need it. Will you go get it?" And he said, "Yeah, Daddy, I'll be back in a little while." And he just went out and played, didn't even go get his daddy's medicine. And he come back, finally his daddy was dying. He said, "Daddy, they didn't have none, drugstore." And all he could think about was his self. You know, some of the meanest people I ever met were teenagers, when all they think about is their self, not their mama, not their daddy. Do y'all know you can hurt your mom and daddy's feelings real bad by being a smart mouth and acting wrong? It hurts. It hurts. It hurts your parents when you act smart like that. And boy, I tell you, his daddy was dying. They finally went and got his medicine. His daddy was dying, and he grabbed that boy by the hand like that. He said, "Look at me, boy." He said, "Always tell the truth, for the eye of God is on you." And he died like that. I'm going to tell you this evening. I got to think about my mom. And we stayed with my mom day and night, you know, for those last 2 weeks. My sister for years, really, when she wasn't working. My sister never went on a vacation. She never went off somewhere. Her and her husband, they got a cabin up in the mountains. Never even got to go to it hardly at all for the last 3 years. I tell you, she'd done what very few people would do. I'm telling you, she stayed with my mom day and night. All weekend, the time she got off, she stayed with mom, changing her sheets, turning her over, washing her hair, giving her a shower. She gave her a bath in a wheelchair. And finally, just in the bed. And she stayed with her and stayed with her and stayed with her. And I remember several times going up there, and I'd go out to preach somewhere with my mom. In the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, I'm not going to see her much longer. I'm not going to see her much longer. I can't imagine. I can't imagine just saying, "Oh, Mom, I'll see you later," and going out and just forgetting all about her. You better remember that, kids. The Bible said, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Some of you little smart mouths, listen to me tonight. The Bible said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth." You say, "Well, I don't tell my mama. She's not going to tell me what." You know what you've done? You've done watched MTV so much, you've got the devil in you. You've done got demons watching old Snooky, Dookie, whatever she is. Brother, you've been watching the old situation pervert Shalom that you think you're smart. Listen, that's not reality. That's not reality. Listen, God gave you a mother, or God gave you a father. You better honor them and do right, brother. And you better remember that God got the key for when you die and leave this world. Amen. I'll tell you something else you better remember. I'm gonna say this and I'm better. Kids, you better remember. Sin might be fun, but it don't last long. And then there's hell to pay. Amen. Can't y'all 30s and 40s and 50s tell them there's a bigger price to pay for sin than the fun that it brings? In other words, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth the price you pay. Every one of us adults could stand up here tonight and say, "Kids, I made this mistake, or I went astray, or I done something wrong, and I would to God that I'd have never done it." You can do something in one week of your life that will haunt you the rest of your days. You can do something in one day that can bother you. Listen, there's people in prison tonight that messed up 15 minutes and they're in prison tonight. There's people with AIDS tonight that went to one party and thought there was no harm in it. There's people in jail, in prison, on death row, dying tonight and in rehab because they thought, "One time, I'll drink a little bit. I'm only going one time." Sin has a high price. There's a price on sin, and you'll pay. You will not get by. And by the way, let me say this. If you've been raised in church and your mom and daddy's taught you right, you know better. God expects more out of you. You've got more light. You've got more. You see more. And there'll be a higher price to pay for you. You turn your back on God. Hey, some of you sitting right here tonight, no doubt, you're thinking, "Just as soon as I get 18, I'm out of here, man. I'll never come back and hear no preacher scream at me again. I'm gonna tell you what you get when you're about 19. You'll get a tombstone. You'll get a nice headstone with your name on it. Let me tell you something. You can't beat God. You can't buck on God and get away with it. He's bigger than you are. You're so full of rebellion that you're determined that you meet the Almighty God. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. But He'll bring you down. Don't think He can't. I'll tell you this. You've heard me say it before. God won't stop you from sinning. Any one of you. You can go get drunk Friday night. God won't stop you. But you ain't going to stop Him from knocking your head off neither. Just remember that. Amen. God will let you do whatever you want to, but when it comes time, you ain't going to stop him from judging you neither. You ain't going to stop him. I can tell you story after story. You've heard me tell it before, but I'll give you this, and I'm through. I wasn't even planning on saying this. A friend of mine, young man in Marion, popular in school. He's about 11th grade. I mean, his arm was that big. Wrestle, football. He could get any girl he wanted in school. All he had to do is just, he could have any girl he wanted. Very popular, good looking, all that kind of stuff. Him and another boy's out drinking one night on Halloween. Come around me, but I'm not far from my house. Took a curve like that and flipped that car, and that car come down on him, crushed him like that. Broke his back, back here in about two or three places. They rushed him to the hospital in Asheville. They called his family in. That's an awful scary thing. If you've never been to the hospital when a family comes in, the emergency room, here comes one, here comes daddy, here comes sister, here comes... and they're all crying in tears. He's laying there with a thing in his nose and strapped down, and you see blood all over him. They got him tied down. And they told it, the doctors told him that night, they said, if he lives till tomorrow morning, it'll be a miracle. He said he probably will never live, but if he does, it'll be a miracle. And they said if he does live, he'll be a vegetable. His back bone and vertebra back there is severed. He said he'll never be able to walk, he'll never be able to feed himself, he'll never be able to do anything that a normal person can do. And his family bawled, and they called all over Marion. Somebody called me, said, pray, pray, pray. And people prayed and prayed and prayed. And they put him, strapped him down on one of them beds. He could have been out playing football, but he's strapped in one of them beds like this with a strap so he can't move. You know, that thing chance to heal. And they'd lay you like that all day long and then flip you over. His face would be facing the ground, had a little hole in the bed. And then for a few hours later, they'd flip him back over like that for days. And days and days. His big muscular arms swiveled up to his, they weren't as big as mine right there, up here. They looked like a monster. And he lived a few weeks, and they kept praying, and he lived, and they kept praying, and he lived. But I'm going to tell you something. It was a miracle that God spared that boy's life. I think, he was about 17, 18. Finally, somebody brought him to church one night. They put him in a wheelchair, rolled him in back there, and he's sitting right here, about right where Paul is, right here on this side. I got up that night, the choir was singing, the Lord was moving. Big old tears started coming down that boy's face. Just about, he looked so pitiful. It'd break your heart to look at him, knowing what he was before. That's what I'm telling y'all, kids. I know y'all are tempted. I know y'all are. But if you've got a brain, you know what I think? I know y'all are. I believe all of y'all are saved. Probably all of you saved. I hope you are. But I'd get in this altar and I'd totally surrender it. Don't leave one area in your life where the devil get his foot. That means your friends, people you hang out with, might be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Get her out. Get rid of it. Somebody wheeled him down to the altar. He came down right here. And a bunch of the guys got around him and prayed. He couldn't kneel. He just bowed his head like that. Bawled. He got right with God. They turned him around like that. He started coming to church. And he couldn't read the Bible. He couldn't turn the pages. But he just started devouring the Bible. And they said they brought him to church. And they said he finally could take his hand like that and knock the pages over, and they said that was amazing that he could ever do that. And he went around all the time telling young people, don't do it. Don't do it. Look what he done to me. You don't believe it. Sometimes I think we ought to get a busload of them and take them over to Tom's rehab in some of those places and say, look in that room. That girl, 16 years old, used to be a cheerleader. Broken at. Look at that boy right there, football player, huh? And they're sitting in there like this, and all drawled up, like an animal in a cage. That's their life. none of us know better than they are. It can happen. But it's a high price to sin. You better remember that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. You better remember some things tonight. You better remember some things, young people. You better remember some things, young adults. The Lord will warn you, and He'll warn you, and He'll warn you. And if you don't listen, He can speak a little louder. Christians are praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. How's things with you and God tonight, young person? Heavenly Father, please move on all these young people here tonight. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, for every teenager here tonight, that you would help them to totally, totally surrender it all. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing.